Welcome to the Empowerment Zone with Ramona Houston, where we zone in on Black and Brown relations and our journey to empowering our communities.
Man, I am looking forward to this interview today. Good afternoon. Thank you for joining the Empowerment Zone. I'm your host, Ramona Houston. And today we have Judith Martinez with us. And she's going to talk about how we can get beyond stereotypes to build a better society. So as you all know, these last 4 years have been extremely challenging and difficult for various types of people, particularly people of color, and just having to deal with all types of challenges in our society. And many of them are based on stereotypes of who we are as people and who we are as human beings. And so I am really happy to be talking about this subject because now we can move on. Now we have new leadership. We can, in our country, we need to be all be focusing on how we can create a better society. So today we have Ms. Judith Martinez Sadre. Judith is a bilingual and bicultural media and marketing professional, strategist, and entrepreneur. She is also a four-time Emmy award-winning content producer, anchor, and on-air personality. And she has been a part of leadership teams that launched a bilingual web print publication in the year 2000, an Emmy award-winning newscast, Telemundo Atlanta in 2012. And she's also a social venture. She also has a social venture to empower women in 2015 and the fastest growing digital Spanish news media platform in the U.S., Mundo Hispanico, in 2016, which was within the Cox Media. Currently, Judith is the director of marketing at Hassner Law. She is a native of Monterrey, Mexico, and now she lives in Atlanta. Judith produces and host a podcast called Reinvent Yourself or Reinventate. So we have another podcaster here today. Welcome, Judith. How are you today?
Hey, Ramona. Thank you for having me. I'm so happy that we get to connect. And congratulations on your website, on your podcast, too.
Thank you. I'm really excited about it. I started it in July of this year, of 2000, and it's been well received. And I'm really happy about all the great guests I've had. And of course, it's such a pleasure to have you to join us today.
Thank you so much.
So you're going to talk today about how we as individuals and as a community, a society, can get beyond stereotypes. But before you talk about that, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background and, you know, what you do, what you like to do, what you don't like to do? Just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Well, I was born and raised in Mexico, in the north part of Mexico, and with a lot of influence from the U.S., meaning music, products, and, you know, the whole culture from the U.S. And it never crossed my mind that I would come to live in this country. You know, I was so happy in my country. I finished college in Mexico. I graduated. I studied marketing, public relations, journalism, media, and I was really happy down there. But then I had a relative here in Atlanta who invited me over to learn English, to perfect my English, let's just say, because according to me, I understood everything. But so I came to Georgia back in 1995, and I took an intensive 2 years class in Georgia Tech that specialized in English for professionals, for people who already finished college. And boy, I realized I didn't know much. I couldn't understand many of the things people were saying, but I made myself a goal to learn in 2 years, finish my English class and just go back to Mexico and continue my life. But during that time, I fell in love. And to make the long story short, in 1999, I got married in Atlanta. And Atlanta has been my house ever since, my home ever since. And in 1999, I started my first business. It was a dot-com, you know, out of the basement, like many of those stories. Well, my story was just like that. We started a dot-com. We were sponsored by Delta. I had the luxury to quit my job and dedicate my time to that AtlantaLatino.com, which was the first Spanish website ever in the state of Georgia, that converted into a newspaper that I had for about 10 years. After the newspaper, I was an entrepreneur for 10 years. When the recession happened, we had to close doors, and we knew that the industry was changing, print industry. So I was recruited by Telemundo to be their news director and news anchor, and I had a blast working there. That's what I got, you know, most of my Emmys, and I got to do television and just live that journalist experience of moving from print to television. Then I got tired, and I took a sabbatical, but it really didn't happen because I'm all about creating stuff. So I co-started a movement to empower women, specifically Latinas. There wasn't anything to really cater to Latinas back in 2015. And I ran that almost for 2 years. And then I got recruited by Mundo Hispanico, who was owned by Cox Media Group, to join their digital team. And I was also fascinated to come back to the industry. I was there for about 3 years. And then I got recruited by a law firm to direct or handle their marketing needs for Hispanic and non-Hispanic markets. So that's kind of been my 20 years, you know, in 5 minutes or less than 5 minutes. I'm a mom. I have two children. Diego, 16 years old, and Leila, 10 years old. I've been married for 21 years now, and I consider myself an imported peach.
Imported peach, I like that. Isn't it amazing how love can just change your life, change your whole life trajectory? I mean, who would have thought you would have ended up falling in love and staying here in Georgia?
Yeah, I still, you know, I really need to write a book about my life because it was really, really true love. I married someone from the Middle East who was born and raised Muslim. I was born and raised Catholic, and religion has not been an issue for us. We've been happy, and we will continue to be happy, hopefully. But it's been a wonderful life. I cannot be more thankful and grateful to that I was invited to Georgia, and like I said, I feel home. And it's kind of funny when I go to Mexico and I'm taking Uber or MARTA, people ask me, "Are you going home?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And then when I get to Mexico, people say, "Welcome to Mexico." And I'm like, "Okay." So it feels weird, you know, when you have half of your heart in one country and the other half in another country. But I'm really blessed and thankful.
Well, thank you so much for telling us about yourself, and that you have a very interesting professional trajectory. And it just proves that you can explore many professions and be successful at it. Like a lot of people think that you should only focus on one area, when actually many people are multi-gifted and they can go into various areas and be successful. So thanks for sharing your story. So today you're going to talk about how we as individuals can get beyond stereotypes and why stereotypes are so, they're so detrimental to building relationships. They're detrimental to the person who's thinking the stereotypes. They're detrimental to the people who are on the receiving end. And so they really prohibit us from really having great relationships and great lives and live to our fullest potential because we're always having to deal with stereotypes. So tell us how you got into the issue of stereotypes and what is your thoughts about stereotypes?
Well, recently, a few weeks ago, Randstaff, you know, one of the largest staffing agencies, invited me to speak about stereotypes in their Hispanic Heritage Month webinar that they had. And I thought, like, this topic is totally not, doesn't go with me. Like, why was I picked to or invited even to speak about it? But the thing is, I've been very vocal about the certain, you know, experiences that I have had with my children at their school because they are multiracial and multilingual. And so when one of the persons who invited me, which was a close friend, and I asked her, why are you inviting me? She's like, Judy, you have great stories, and they're true stories that you need.
Yep, yep.
You're not ashamed of telling them. So people need to hear that sometimes having a stereotype, you could be affecting people's future. A student's trajectory, you know, academia can be affected by stereotype. But let me start by telling you what is a stereotype and sharing with everyone the one of the definitions. A stereotype is a mistaken idea or belief many people have about a thing or a group that is based upon how they look on the outside, which might be untrue or only partially true. Stereotyping people is a type of prejudice because what is on the outside is a small part of who a person is. I love this definition because we often tend to judge people by their look. And, you know, people say don't judge a book by its cover, but we're always judging people. And it's important for me to emphasize that the past 4 years, as you mentioned in the beginning, have been very hurtful for so many communities, not only Mexican or immigrant, but people who look different, because our leader has made it so normal to make fun of others in public. And that had really spiked a movement in the country where people are really having a hard time even going to a restaurant or getting some service or just being out in school. It's so easy now to be bullied, and it's okay to be bullied. I'm so happy these years are over and we're about to start a new chapter.
Yes.
So
yes.
This topic is for all of us to realize that how stereotypes can affect our lives, can hurt the future of someone who has nothing to do with the stereotyping. For example, my kids. I'm Mexican, my husband is Middle Eastern, and my kids are a mixed, but they feel American. However, they look different. They are dark, they have dark skin, they have dark color. Someone once was trying to make fun and said, boy, your kids are illegal immigrants terrorists. And when you hear that, you're like, yeah, the stereotyping of a Middle Eastern is a terrorist. The stereotype of a Latino or Mexican is undocumented, illegal, how they say. So these words are hurtful, and these words could really affect our relationships and could really affect the future of their lives. For example, let me share one story. And I want you to know that I'm not sharing these because I feel I'm a victim. No, I don't want that to, you know, to be perceived that as that. I'm sharing my stories because if you're listening to this, I'm sure your kids have friends from all over the world. You work with people from all over the world. You make decisions on your daily jobs that affect people from different nationalities or different races or different looks. So it's important for all of us to be open, to have our mind open and understand that tolerance and education is what can lead us to acceptance. Many people decided to move here, like myself. I decided to move here and I knew that the stereotyping and everything was part of the package, right? But my children did not decide to be born, with biracial parents and to live in a multicultural household. They didn't. So I need to teach them how to accept each other and how to not to get hurt if they're not accepted. But we as adults have the responsibility, really, to understand the stereotyping and make sure it doesn't hurt our the people around us. We are, before you can call yourself a leader in your community, you are a leader of your own household. You are a leader of your own neighborhood. You are a leader in your workplace. So let's take the leadership and understand that stereotyping can hurt, but also understand the things that happen in society that can, you know, can continue to hurt the fabric of society, for example. So let me tell you one of my stories. This is a true story. My daughter, Layla, she's 10 years old. She speaks English, Japanese, and Spanish perfectly. When she was, when I was registering her for elementary, first year of elementary, I was asked to fill out a pink slip, which was a form for ESOL classes. ESOL classes are additional English classes that foreign students have to take when they join the public system, because it's believed that they need some enhancement or they need to speak or and learn better English. So my daughter was given that form. I didn't fill it out. When it was my turn to give all the paperwork, I was told, well, you need to fill this out because you mark in your paperwork that your daughter is bilingual. And I said, yeah, she is bilingual, but she doesn't need ESOL. And the lady at school, she insisted. She said, listen, she's bilingual. She needs to take ESOL. I said, okay, when are you testing her? Why don't you test her? And if I see the score and I see that she's failing in English, then yes, of course, put it in ESOL. And she said, well, it doesn't work like that. You have an accent, and so your daughter most likely doesn't understand or speak English good enough. And I said, well, she's coming from kindergarten. She's been in kindergarten for a year. I have her paperwork, and none of the teachers ever mentioned that they have an issue with Layla not speaking English well enough. And she's like, yes, ma'am, but you have an accent. And I said, well, wait a minute, but I'm not the student. It's her. I'm her mom. And so far we're communicating okay. Do you feel, I mean, I do have an accent, but are we not, you know, getting, are we not understanding each other? So she was like, no, this is said, you need to fill out the form. And I said, no, I'm not filling out any form. I need to speak with your principal. This is not happening. So there were so many other parents in the same situation in that school. One of my closest neighbors, she's Mexican. The father is American. He goes, does the same thing, does the paperwork. He fills out the form and put his kids are bilingual. He's not given the ESOL paperwork. Next day, his wife happened to go back to the school to give some other paperwork. And as soon as she said, these are my kids, they go like, oh, well, wait a minute. Your husband didn't fill up the ESOL form, and he should have, because you're Mexican and you have an accent. My neighbor already knew my story. And she's like, no, my kids speak perfect English. So, when that was happening, I was like, this is not right. I'm thankful for the ESOL as a resource. Many kids need it. But it's not right to put kids in ESOL just because their parents have an accent or their last name is Lopez Martinez or whatever. So I shared the story with a reporter from NPR. She did her investigation, and she found a very similar case in California of another very active Mexican mother. However, she was a third generation Mexican. I'm a first generation. And so she found that many schools have to meet their numbers like everybody else. And what they do is they immediately put all the kids on ESOL classes. And what is it is like, instead of learning math or music or something else, they need to learn English. But in this case, my daughter, my neighbors, they speak perfect English. They don't need to take ESOL classes. So if I wasn't there that day, she probably would have been taking ESOL for the rest of her elementary years, which she doesn't need. That's where the stereotype comes. And it wasn't just a stereotype for her. It was for me. Just because I have an accent, then, you know, I have to make sure my kids go to that class. After I shared my story on social media and the story was aired on NPR, many parents reached out to me and said, Judith, my son has been on ESOL ever since first grade all the way to high school. Like, what? If someone is in the public education system from elementary to high school, you don't need ESOL. You have learned in English for, what, 12, 13 years? It doesn't make sense. If you just came from Colombia or Cambodia or any other place in the world and you are in fifth grade, you will probably need ESOL for 2 or 3 years. I will highly recommend it. But just being assigned immediately to ESOL because of your last name is, to me, is not right. And again, the stereotype, maybe if I had been blonde, blue eyes, no accent, and I had gone and registered Layla, and I put she's bilingual, what just like what happened to my neighbor, the issue wouldn't be, you know, that I have an accent. So this type of experience are happening every day. You know, when we go to restaurants, when we go to, well, now we cannot go to the movies anymore, but often people treat you different because of that stereotype. So my key here is education and tolerance will really take us to acceptance.
Thank you so much for sharing that personal story. And the side note about that is the importance of parents being involved in their children's education. You know, if you are not an engaged parent, many times those type of experiences can happen to your young people, but to your children. But let's talk about stereotypes. You gave us the definition of what stereotypes are. You know, it's a bias. Yeah, it's a bias. But where do you think they come from? What's your, where do people get the ideas they have about other people?
Well, it's so important, and I'm so happy you asked. Often when we talk about stereotypes, you immediately think of the way you look. Because that's how the stereotype starts, by the way you look or by the way you talk. And stereotypes are kind of combined with your cultural identity. And it doesn't mean that because I am Mexican and I live in America, I need to forget who I am just to blend in. That is not the point. The point is to feel proud of my roots, to feel proud of what makes me who I am, which is that I have dark skin, that I love music, that I speak loud, you know, that I have an accent. That's who I am. For every community, it's important to keep those roots. But what is more important is to open the dialogue and have conversations like the one you and I are having, you know, and so we can understand each other. Like if I ask you, Ramona, can you tell me why, I already know the answer, but I'm just asking you, why in the African-American community, they love, you know, they're loud. Why are they loud? You're going to say, tell me why. You know, why are they loud?
No.
Well, I can tell you because in the Latino community, we are very loud too. And what happens is if you go back to history, minorities, African-Americans were serving other people. Latinos, we were serving Spaniards. And we often live in small rural communities and we have to yell to each other to be listened to. We didn't live in a house. We lived out there in the country. So in order to other people to hear us, we will have to be loud, right? And it's just part of who we are.
And, you know, many times the you know, like you talk about the origins of stereotypes, you know, and that it's based on what we see. Also, a lot of stereotypes are based on what we've been taught by our families, by our communities, by the people we associate with, by our institutions.
By the media, and
leadership. And so one of the ways that we can really address stereotypes is really in our individual conversations, in making sure that we don't allow stereotypes to perpetuate in our environments, and that we are agents of change and not allow stereotypes to persist in our presence.
Correct. And that is so important because if you are in a position where you are impacting people's lives and you are like I said, a teacher or a counselor or a school principal, someone with the authority to guide someone, And if you don't help that person because you look at the stereotype and you say, oh, Jose Lopez, he looks like a decent student, but most likely he doesn't want to go to college. He's part of this of the statistics that Latinos are not educated, or like, oh, I'm not going to even offer him this option because he probably won't take it. Or his mom, I've never seen his mom. Maybe his mom is a cleaner or whatever. And those stereotypes really could hurt somebody's future. And it could also hurt them personally. Another experience that happened to my son in middle school was, I'm sharing this with you because you wouldn't believe the things that are happening in the classrooms and the things that are happening in society because of stereotypes. Before I share that story about my son, I'll share a story about me. I was in the grocery store. I happened to be in the cleaning aisle products, and I couldn't reach a product. And that day I went after my gym. I wasn't makeup or anything. I had just, you know, my gym clothes. Mm-hmm. I tried to reach a product. I couldn't reach it. This lady gets close to me and she was nice enough to help me get the product down, but I didn't know what she was giving me because I couldn't read. So as soon as I grabbed the product and I was trying to read what it was, she said, honey, your clients will love it. And I am like,
you made a lot of assumptions. With me trying to reach the cleaning product, huh?
Yeah. So she's giving me the cleaning product. She's Latina, and the way, you know, I wasn't dressed up or anything, and she immediately assumed that I'm a cleaning person. Yes. Now, I am extremely proud of all the immigrants, not only Latinos, who clean our country, who build our country, who serve right now in pandemic. They are the ones who are out there putting their lives at risk. I extremely appreciate and value their work, and I'm not ashamed of that at all. I really love what they do because they do it with the heart. But what is not right is when society, because of lack of education, that's what it is, they immediately label you and then they treat you as is. And that is not cool. And that's why I think having this conversation is so important and so crucial, especially since we are building a new chapter, you know, writing a new chapter. Just yesterday, it was really exciting to hear some of the new cabinet members of the new administration that they shared their stories of their immigrant families. One was Cuban, one had some German, mm-hmm. of German descent. It's so important. We are a melting pot, and we should not take that in the wrong way. We should take that in a positive way. Because listen, tomorrow you don't know who your kids are falling in love with. You don't know if your kid is going to show up with someone that it looks completely different from you and your family. And what are you going to do? We should welcome that person and learn about that person and respect that person. You know, since my daughter speaks Japanese, I've made myself the goal to learn more about their culture. And it's so fascinating how they vow to older people, how they respect older people in a way that maybe in our other cultures is not as common. So learning from each other cultures, you just become more aware of the world you live in, and you become, you know, your intellect goes to another level.
And that's a great way to conclude. We're running out of time on the podcast, but how America is a melting pot of all these different people and cultures. And we have to learn to live together and respect one another and to love one another for our differences, and that we do not have to embrace stereotypes. So with that being said, what do you advise our audience to do in terms of calls to action, in terms of being a person that does not embrace stereotypes? What would you suggest?
Well, I'd like to conclude by saying that oftentimes stereotypes lead to over-generalizations of people based on demographics. And now more than ever, we ought to be more conscious and more aware of the generalizations we make. Sometimes are, you know, unconscious, sometimes are purposeful, but correct those around us who may be doing the same. And remember, tolerance and education is what can lead to acceptance. And my a specific call to action, especially now that we are extremely active on social media, I believe all of us are in social media, in any platform you prefer, and you will see the stereotypes there. So my call to action to all of you and to it's really very easy. 6 words: respect each other, learn about each other, include each other, accept each other, value each other, and most importantly, express each other. If you feel like there is a stereotype towards you and you feel uncomfortable, find a way to express it. It's not fun to live feeling left out. It's not fun to be bullied, if you want to call it. So express it. And I'm sure when there's the proper communication, there's a way to solve any issue. And many occasions is just ignorance, like what happened in Georgia. I tell people, don't feel offended if someone mistaking you for a cleaner. They don't know any better. Many people in Georgia are new. I mean, immigrants are new in Georgia. We've been around for maybe 20 years, 25 years. It's not like Texas or Miami or California or New York, but immigrants have been there forever. We are kind of like, you know, the newcomers. So they don't know. And when you don't know something or somebody, you immediately are afraid of that person or immediately block yourself because you just don't know. But it doesn't mean that person wanted to hurt you or a person wanted to make you feel that certain way. It's just that person doesn't know much. And we just need to educate them and teach them who we are and why are we here.
Exactly. Well, I really appreciate you joining me today. I think this is an important conversation for us to have, especially like you said, we're in a new chapter in American history. And this chapter is going to be a better chapter than the last. And the way we all need to do a reset and make sure that we treat each other with love and respect and humanistically so that we can all live together in joy and harmony. Well, thank you so much, Judith. I appreciate you joining me today.
Thank you, Ramona. It's been a pleasure.
Hi, today we have Judith Martinez-Sadri, and she is also a college graduate, and she has some advice for all of you who are going to college and are accumulating all your strategies on how you're going to be successful. And so Judith is here to share with us one of her suggestions for you. Hi, Judith.
Hi, Ramona. Well, I got a few suggestions here. And one of the things I will say to students is, I'm sure you heard it, but follow your passion.
Yes.
What does follow your passion mean? Find something that you would do 24/7, even for free. Something that really, really fulfills your soul, your spirit, and at the end of the day, makes you feel satisfied and complete. So many students are choosing careers based on the money they could be making. And you know what? The money is good, but the money is not going to make you happy. I can tell you. Mm-hmm. So look inside of you, find all those talents, those hidden talents that you have, and try to find a career where you can apply those God-given talents. Mm-hmm. That way you will be successful. You will never get tired. You will do things for free because sometimes we have to. And it's a good way to getting ourselves known for what we do. But follow that inner voice and that spirit. I know some parents are not supportive. Sometimes it's hard to convince them, but they really know who we are. And they've seen since we were little, maybe coloring, dancing, doing math, or whatever you did when you were up to, like from when you were born all the way to your 7 years old, go back to your childhood and find what were you doing? What were you doing that you really, really enjoyed? Those were your God-given talents.
Sounds great. So follow your passion is what you should do in terms of determining your career. And you said you had a couple of more pieces of advice?
Yes. The other thing is communicate. Communicate with your counselors, your teachers. If it's something that you just don't feel is right, communicate. Don't ever take no for an answer. There's always a way around to fix whatever needs to be fixed or to get a second chance, a second opportunity. I always tell my son, look, communication with your teacher is crucial. If you miss an assignment, you know what? Offer to do something better. Like, give me a chance. Give me a chance. Always ask for a second chance. Most of the times you will get it, but don't ever leave the classroom or, you know, go to bed without feeling like, oh, I could have, I should have. Could have, should have, don't exist. Go do it. I can tell you when you can show what you want to do or when you can communicate clearly with your leaders, they will open the door for you and they will support you. So think out of the box. Think out of the box. We love to be surprised. I'm a teacher myself. I'm teaching college communications in Mexico. I do it through Zoom. And I love the way my students follow me on LinkedIn or send me a message on Instagram, or they are all over the place. And I love that I can, you know, have that rapport with them. So yeah, become friends with your teachers. It's a good advice.
Yes. And I'm a former college professor and I totally agree with you on that, that the students who communicate and communicate effectively and build relationships with their professors, they are given some leniency because they're showing that they have initiative and they are trying and they're reaching out for help. So I totally agree with you on that. So follow your passion and make sure you communicate. Thank you so much, Judith, for joining us today. I am absolutely thrilled that you are our podcast guest.
It was a fun. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Thank you.
A special thank you to the incredible team of the Empowerment Zone. Terry Ungully, theme song. NADWORKS, digital support, and of course, our featured guest.
If you enjoyed my podcast, please subscribe. We are on all of your favorite podcast platforms. Be sure to rate us on Apple Podcasts too. Thank you for your continued support.